So, Jim McGovern, we get a new GOP tax plan, I must say. I don't even think the people who wrote it know what's fully in it yet. I'm interested in you as a congressman and from the beautiful 2nd District of Massachusetts, telling us what you're getting back from your constituents, how you think this is going to affect them.
The overwhelming response that I've received from constituents of the 2nd District has been, you know, oppose this. I mean, people, you know a bad deal when they see one. I mean, 84% of all the tax breaks in this Republican tax bill go to the wealthiest 1% of this country. I think people rightfully expect that if you're going to have a tax reform bill, that the majority of those benefits ought to go to people in the middle or people struggling to get into the middle. And, you know, this on top of everything else adds about $1.5 trillion to our deficit. And look, I mean, no economist that I have been able to witness has said that this is, you know, going to do miraculous things for our economy. Most economists that I've read have said that if you want to help the economy, we ought to have an infrastructure bill. You ought to invest in rebuilding our roads and our bridges and our rail systems and our airports and our, you know, our water treatment facilities and our sewage plants. And I mean, I write down the list of things that are kind of falling apart in this country. You put people to work, and rebuilding your infrastructure, you know, helps stimulate economic growth. It helps attract more businesses here. You know, giving corporations another handout is not going to mean that they're going to invest more in this country. It means they're going to take that money and put it in their pocket. And so, you know, most of the people that I've talked to understand that this is a raw deal for the American people.
Some colleagues of mine are telling me, oh, well, you know, Trump's numbers are going to go up because when people see even a couple of $100 or $1,000 in their tax returns, they're going to like him more. Do you believe that?
Well, you know what? It remains to be seen. I don't think the American people are a cheap date. I think they understand that this is not good for them. You know, adding $1.5 trillion to the deficit is not good in the, for them, for their kids, their grandkids. And beyond that, I mean, and you know, if you look at this tax bill, like here in Massachusetts, you're going to, you know, they went after the state and local tax deduction that they've limited what you can deduct on your federal taxes. So, I mean, you might get a little bit more back in your paycheck, maybe, but then you're going to end up paying more, you know, down the road when you pay your tax bill. You may see your health care costs go up more dramatically because of Trump's repeal of the individual mandate, which is in this tax bill. If you care about the environment and climate change, you're going to be upset because, you know, they've made it okay to drill for oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Reserve. I mean, that's been a debate that's been going on for decades. And yet, you know, tucked away in a tax bill, you know, is this anti-environmental provision, which is very, very controversial and I think very, very damaging to the wildlife reserve, and it's bad for our environment. So, look, people know that the hype that the president you know has used to promote this is not real, and you know, and we're gonna and I'll tell you this is good. This is probably one of the worst pieces of legislation that I think I've ever seen in my 20 years in Congress, and I'm not exaggerating.
So now we got a $1.5 trillion addition to the national debt, and we're hearing that the Republicans are going to try to find ways to sort of slice some of that off, including Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Right.
Medicare may be, after my family, the thing I treasure the most in this world. Tell me how you're going to protect that.
Well, we're going to fight like hell. I mean, Speaker Ryan has already said that he wants to focus in on, quote, welfare reform and entitlement reform. And that means Social Security, and that means Medicare, and that means Medicaid, and that means programs like SNAP. I mean, those are the programs that he has said fall under that category. Well, you know, I mean, you know, we've had this conversation before that, you know, programs like SNAP are, you know, modest. At best, they're inadequate. I mean, the average SNAP beneficiary gets $1.40 per person per meal. You're going to cut that even more? What are you going to cut on Medicare? Are you going to make it more expensive for people to be able to get health care? Are you going to, you know, deny people services. And on Medicaid, by the way, Medicaid is not just for people who are in the low income brackets. Many people rely on Medicaid, you know, for, you know, long term care in nursing home facilities. I mean, it's not just poor people, it's people, you know, in the middle income brackets. And then Social Security. What we should be talking about is how do we maybe lift the cap on taxable income on Social Security to keep it solvent and to keep it continuing to grow for generations to come. But that's not what they have in mind. I mean, they have in mind privatizing Social Security. They want to voucherize Medicare. They want to gut Medicaid, and they want to, you know, cut SNAP. That's just to pay for this tax cut. I mean, that is immoral, in my opinion. And again, I mean, government is supposed to be about helping people. It's not supposed to be about making people's lives more miserable. And, you know, I think maybe this will constitute an overreach that will turn the American people against them in a way that, you know, we can win back majorities in the House and Senate and be a check on some of these extremist policies.
Now, we only have a couple of minutes, but you have been a great fighter in the war against hunger in this country. You just mentioned SNAP, you know, food stamps and other things that will protect those people who go hungry, especially our children. So where are we in the fight against hunger?
Well, we still have a long way to go. We have about 42 million Americans in this country who are hungry or food insecure. There's not a single congressional district in America that is hunger free. What's maddening is that we can solve this problem. Again, food ought to be a right for everybody, not only in this country, but on this planet. And I always tell people that hunger is a political condition because we can solve this, but we don't have the political will. They had the political will to pass a tax cut for corporations, but yet we don't have the political will to eradicate hunger in this country. I mean, you eradicate hunger in this country through making sure that people who work actually get paid a livable wage, because contrary to what you hear on some of the news stations, the majority of people who are able to work who are on SNAP actually do work, but their wages are so low they still qualify for the benefit. Let's pay people a livable wage. Let's make sure that we support our feeding programs, not just SNAP, but summer feeding, school feeding, Meals on Wheels, to make sure that everybody gets what they need. But this is a solvable problem, and to me, it's a moral crisis as well. I mean, what kind of country do we want to be? And what kind of country are we when we tolerate 42 million Americans who are hungry and we say, well, that's just the way it is? Well, it doesn't have to be that way. And we need to step up and we need to combat it. And by the way, by not eradicating hunger, we're paying dearly in terms of other costs. Avoidable health care costs. Kids who go to school hungry don't learn in school. Workers who are hungry, they're less productive. So there's a price for us not doing enough, and hopefully that'll change.
I can't tell you how much respect I have for you, Congressman Jim McGovern, Massachusetts 2nd District. Thanks for doing that. And when we come back the next time, let's talk a little bit, if we can, Jim, about 2018, the Mueller investigation, and where we're going.